Welcome back to the Loons Match Day Preview Show. I'm Kyle Hayward, filling in for Jonathan Harrison this week. I'm joined with Mr. Andy Greeter and MNUFC's own Manny Lagos today. Guys, how are you doing?
Good, good. I'm intrigued by today because, you know, we have a reporter in the room who's, you know, I think had a journey into soccer that maybe he didn't expect. Mm-hmm. But he's here and he's been here for years with us and our journey with Minnesota United.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited about this too. You know, it's going to be interesting talking soccer in a different capacity, right? I mean, I've spent on different podcasts, but talking with Manny, you know, legend in his own right in this game and with this club, just try to glean some information from him and maybe provide a nugget or two of my own ideas.
I'm sure you'll have plenty to say.
Pretty sure he will. My gut says yes there.
So. All right, guys. So we're going to get straight into the home opener. Lots to talk about there. It was a beautiful day. And an awesome game. What were your general thoughts of the game, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whenever you have a 95th minute winner, you know, there's always excitement that comes with that. And obviously for that to come from a Minnesota perspective, to be able to get a point against, you know, the MLS Cup champions is a great kind of result, a great cap to a very eventful day, right? Obviously there was some really good high pressing early on that I think really kind of set the tone, and Wilfred Nancy kind of mentioned that in his post game comments about how even though Minnesota did it at Austin, that he was surprised that it had the same kind of success at least early on. I thought, you know, we all kind of expected Columbus to find its way into the game, and Dane had to step up that's a big moments and some saves, especially in that first half. And to have Columbus get a goal and kind of Christian Ramirez comes on and how that kind of changed the game and kind of opened it up a little bit. But, and then to kind of have the subs come on and fight to get back in the game and keep going to the last whistle.
Yeah, it seemed like the subs kind of came on at the perfect moment. You could see that noticeable drop off with the pressing system, I thought.
Yeah.
Manny, what did you think?
I think I would be remiss if I didn't start by talking about the obvious special thing, which was probably one of the most special moments in Allianz Field with the goal. But then the special things within the special moment for me last week, and were first and foremost, you know, it was a long off season and there was a lot of adversity. And I think the fans and I think the players and the club just felt a sense of unity with the community by showing up and having the feeling of what Allianz Field provides. And particularly when you're gone 4 or 5 months, I think there was just this cool kind of connection because, you know, even for me, you know, you go there and there's people you haven't seen since the last time you were at a stadium, which is now 4 or 5 months. So to me, there was something in the air already leading up to that special moment at the end of the game based on the fact of just kind of all the things that happened in the offseason. So I would just start with there was a lot of special things within this final special moment. And then you kind of mentioned Christian Ramirez, who, mm-hmm. you know, he came on at halftime and changed the game for them a little bit. Because we did sure. start, to Andy's point, we started out awesome. I mean, the crowd felt an energy level of taking on the MLS Cup chance and getting after them and not them not being able to get out, them not being able to kind of essentially breathe. You know, it was yep. an extension of the Austin game for those first 20, 25 minutes, I felt like, which was incredibly exciting. So I think that we'll probably finish with the special moment of Tani, but like mm-hmm. there was a lot of cool special things leading up to that special moment in the game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What players stood out to you, let's say, in that first 20, 25? What was the reason that the press was so effective early on?
Yeah, I just think, you know, you had the group committed, starting with Boxland Tapia's commitment to 1v1 kind of defending and not letting them out. Now, if you think about it, there were passing lanes into Cucho, into Rossi, but I think they did a great job for the most part, not the whole half, by the way, because you can't contain those guys completely. They're that good.
Yeah,
but for the most part, they were battling in a way that kept our line higher and kept us getting excited about, let's keep the players in there and let's make sure we win the ball and let's get after them right away. So I thought those two did a great job of setting the tone that wasn't going to be an easy day for Cucho and Rossi. And I thought Cucho was still amazing, by the way. Live watching him play, he was all over the place. I didn't realize how much free reign he has to go do a ton of things. And I think his play actually led to how good his first goal was. It didn't surprise me that he'd score because he was playing awesome. But at the same time, I thought Boxland Tapia did a great job with those two.
Yeah. Andy, in that first half, what were you seeing?
Yeah, I think on the other side of that press, they had Teemu Pukki at some moments where he was kind of the head of it. And I think we've been kind of wondering what his defensive prowess was going to be and how much he was going to be able to rise to this role, because some of the underlying numbers don't show him as a great defensive, you know, striker. So I think there was one moment where I don't remember who he was chasing, but he was literally back and forth with a guy and he was kind of smirking afterwards. Like he was kind of relishing kind of the opportunity. And I think he's enjoying the fact of being the head of the press. I thought Sangbin was really good. He's very lively. He got a lot of pace. Obviously, I think MLS put out a stat of him being the fastest guy in the league recently, and kind of some of the dribbles and energies and efforts that he's had, and some of his passing, I think, has been standing out not only on Saturday, but the week before as well. I think we're looking for a little bit more on goal. I think he's only got maybe one shot so far, but I think other attributes of his game, I think, really lend itself to being a cog in this pressing style.
Yeah, I think if you look at Pukki's work rate was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he had two great chances in that first half. And really they did come from Sangbin. I would probably argue that most of our chances in the run of play came from Sangbin up until the final goal.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, kind of a throw-in set piece as well. So to your point, I think Sangbin had a great game. I think probably our home fans hadn't seen Sangbin play that way all last year. So that was really probably fun for them to see the potential of a young kind of up-and-coming player who's got that explosiveness. So, and then certainly I think there was a little tension about Robin Lode being out and how Baran would do, and he was outstanding too. I thought he really connected well. It looked like he got a little tired in that second half, but the first half, I think he really lined up really well with Hassani and Will. And you know, well, Hassani's kind of that guy that you don't notice but is always fighting and battling. I think for sure Will Trapp has had two outstanding games to start the season.
For sure.
So again, there's not a lot of negatives to say about the individuals. And you know, Caden really came in and, like, I think provided a lot of energy and really tried to help the team not miss a beat from Fraga sitting. And like you mentioned, the second half, there was some tactical changes to help the fact that we maybe weren't quite as sharp for 90 minutes for that first group. And again, we have to remind ourselves, we are playing against the defending MLS champs. They are firing in all cylinders. So it was a great battle by the group. And, you know, when you talk about those front six and their mentality to press, it was impressive. And the fans felt it. You could see they really got into the game in that first half.
I felt a difference this year between the two games with the subs that we've been making. Noticing just kind of like some hope off the bench. Not that that wasn't present in the past, but there just feels to be a different era around it right now. Would you guys say, like, the impact of Tani, Braun in the first game, does anybody else stand out to you guys?
Yeah, I think it's just the volume of subs, right? I think in the last 4 years, I looked up the numbers, and Adrian Heath's teams were either last or second to last in just the amount of subs per game. So the fact that I think it was at three and a half or so. So, you know, at the bottom of the league for a number of years. So the fact that it's been five in two straight games, and they're coming on earlier and kind of reinforcing kind of the energy and effort that Cam wants to see in the high press, I think is encouraging for fans to see. And not only that, but just the youth that's coming on too, right? Being able to trust young guys like Luik Masanvi and, you know, some of the other young guys, Braun in the first game, like you mentioned, Tani in both games, obviously his goal, but just kind of trusting youth as well to kind of be willing to kind of go through the growing pains. And at this time it's been mostly positive, but I think it's the volume and the youth that I think has been encouraging.
Yeah. I just love that you bring it up, Andy, because again, I kind of mentioned even your own personal journey of getting to know the sport and diving into it on all levels, which I think you do an amazing job of, and you have. And there's certainly like the evolution of body types, of how you play, styles. And then you have these moments where you have rule changes. And you have to be honest, like, right, everybody is still adapting to the fact that it used to be three subs and now it's five. And that's right, a big deal in terms of, like, style and how you want to build athletes, how you want to push athletes for 90 minutes, how you want to kind of think about how you're going to navigate a management moment within a game. So, you know, those subs matter, and how the club and the team and certainly the management we hire to manage the game itself are massively important. In these first two games, it showed that we really had a plan, and there was a plan going in to see if we can kind of continue to push that level of making sure we're pressing and creating chances and getting, you know, as many numbers forward as possible. And, you know, it won't always turn out like that for sure, but right, for these first two games, you know, the subs had an impact and in a positive way that led to goals late in the game.
Yep.
when it comes to the number of subs, I think Adrian, before the rule change, was it was 2020 or 2021?
It was COVID, yeah.
Yeah, before that, I think Adrian was at like 2.5 of the 3 subs, and that's 3.5 of the 5 subs. So he was pushing the limit of how many you could do, and now the gap widened after the fact, and that's when I think it became more noticeable.
Yeah, and I think it just as a fan, you get to see the clubs and the league and the leagues around the world in real time navigate how they're going to build rosters, how they're going to manage. It's exciting. That kind of rule change, you think, oh, it's not a big deal. It's really a big deal. Okay. And it's still evolving into what that means now that you have more subs available and how you use them. And again, I think the bigger message for me would be just that, like, you know, there is massive in-game management, tactical management. Like I just mentioned, Christian being subbed at halftime was fascinating. You know, again, he tends to actually get subbed a little bit later if he doesn't start. But that just shows, I think, how well we played and how Wilfred's like, I've got to redo how we're doing this and how we're dealing with it. And they did well. I mean, they had, you know, their momentum led to their goal as well.
Christian told me after the game that he was surprised to come on at halftime. I think he was expecting and hopeful to come on. Obviously, it was the first game back in Minnesota since he was traded in 2018. So I think he was expecting it at some point. He said that, he was surprised to see that he was coming on at halftime and had to feel like he had to get ready a little bit quicker and a little more hastily than maybe he was expecting to.
You don't have to wait for spring training to start playing the beautiful game this year. Minnesota United has a full slate of academy and youth camps scheduled throughout 2024. Show off your skills, take your game to the next level, and enjoy some quality time on the field with MNUFC's licensed academy staff. Visit the camps and combines page on MNUFC.com for more information.
You mentioned Christian. What do you think it was that helped him to change the game? Because he came in from a ton, right? They're two very different players. So what was it about the way he plays that helped Columbus get into it?
Yeah. Also, I think I mentioned these special moments leading up to our great special moment at the end. Christian's part of that special moment. I mean, there was the connection of him coming on and the crowd and the fans and just his own qualities he brings both as a player, but then also the connection to the fans. It just added the elements of just kind of that awesome tension about the game. But this is why I like Christian. He came on. Matan struggled in the first half. I think he struggled to in between the lines to create things. And again, when they broke, he was the one that I felt maybe kind of didn't quite feel as dangerous as the other guys. And so you really had Christian coming on in a unique role where he was asked not usually to be kind of like the super sub in the last 15 minutes as a forward to run near post and do that. He kind of was a connector. He kind of came on and this is where I love talking to Minnesota fans because we've seen Christian as a forward and scoring goals. A lot of people don't realize Christian's very selfless and likes to move the ball. He likes to be a connector sometimes. And I think even in his pre-pro days, you know, had played some center midfield. So he has some qualities connecting. So to me, he was a key, I think, in terms of them getting out of our high press. It felt like it was much easier when he got in the field. He connected with Cooch a little bit more. He had a little bit more calmness and patience to get them going and get their numbers forward.
Wasn't their first right after the second half started, he kind of dropped into midfield and kind of helped spring that first chance in the first minute.
It helped them remind them they could get out of our press a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, they took a lot of confidence from that. All right, let's talk about the big moment at the end. That speaking of big moments to make it a special occasion, that was quite something. I mean, the angle alone was insane, but just in the 95th minute with Cucho looking at the ref, telling him, let's call the game. What did you guys see in that moment? What did that mean to you?
Personally, for me, one of the funniest things about it was usually I have my phone and I start my own stoppage time. And the fact that I knew I didn't have to and I could see the clock. And so it's a totally different vibe.
Best rule change.
It's a great one like for that. And then, I think that buildup of tension in soccer is still that doesn't mean it's over because you're going to have a little bit of drama where the referee has to add time on. So to me, I think once the ref in his mind says, I'm going to allow this offensive sequence to happen. In a weird way, I think we relaxed and got in a position to really kind of put numbers in their box and create, kind of drama in a sense and create the kind of chaos that happened. And then after that, I just think, you know, you had a very brave header by Kervin, if you think about it, that really allowed, I think, Tani to get into position to finish. And I just love Tani's finish because ultimately, you know, it looked like he was going to cross, and he kind of just went for it, and the goalie wasn't ready.
That's a confident finish.
Yeah. So I don't know what your perspective was.
Yeah. Tani talked about kind of waiting to see if the ref was going to bring the whistle to his mouth, and once he didn't, he felt kind of reinvigorated by the opportunity that they were going to be able to have. It's also with his weaker left foot, too, which I think is impressive as well, to kind of have the poise to be able to take a touch and kind of turn around and not feel too rushed in the moment, even if the sequence is going to be able to play out, to kind of have the poise to be able to do that. And I think you could see the confidence that he got last year, right, and the fact that he went out on loan and scored 16 goals and kind of had 7 other contributions and really was a standout at USL Championship with San Antonio. And then the confidence that Cam Knowles has given him in both games to know that, you know, hey, we're going to come to you 65th minute and you're really going to be the head of the snake, I think is, you can see the confidence in him. It's also fun because last year we talked about kind of a vibe around Allianz Field, and it was the fewest points they've had in a full season there or at any point in their MLS era. So to have a positive vibe, even if it was 2 points left out there, there was a positive vibe in the locker room and kind of seeing, because that wasn't the case a lot of times last year. It was very quiet and very dour. So to see the kind of way some of Tani's teammates kind of were ribbing him and giving him a hard time, knowing that he was the hero and kind of being willing to kind of be jocular and make jokes with him, I think you could see the vibe and how much kind of his teammates care about him and are friends with him. And it was cool to see that kind of connection in the locker room postgame.
Definitely a lot of positive momentum right now with 4 points from the first 2 games. Heading into Orlando, we'll move on to that game now. What do you think is the key to keeping that momentum going?
I'll start. I just think we've got this gauntlet of really good teams last year. And again, I don't want to say they're good teams yet this year, but on paper, we're starting the season playing against teams that were very, very good last year. And Orlando is one of those teams. I mean, again, I'm giving them a lot of esteem because I'm putting them next to Columbus, next to Philly, next to LAFC. So to me, this is a good team that, has started off with the realities of when you're a good team last year, you're playing in a lot of competition. So this will be their 6th game, I think, in like 2 weeks, basically, against us this Saturday. So for me, it's the excitement of seeing where we're at against a good team just like last weekend is what I'm most excited about. And then I just add on top of the fact that we might have a chance to really get after them because they are playing their 6th game and they have 3 days rest to play Tigres in Monterrey to try to keep going to CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, it's fascinating given the fact that, you know, like Manny said, they had to go to Calvary and play in British Columbia the week before they played Miami, and then we saw what happened in the Miami game. It was 5-0, and you know, Orlando's been struggling to score goals. They don't have one in MLS play. They didn't score against Tigres. I think Calvary's a few steps below and maybe shouldn't be worthy of being the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So in attack, I think it's been surprising just given some of the firepower they have with Duncan McGuire and Facundo Torres. So I think it's been interesting to see the fact that they haven't been able to score goals.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely they're a good team. But I think mentioning Duncan McGuire there after the whole Blackburn Rovers thing, and I think he overperformed a bit last year. You know, I think he was a bit ahead of schedule. And I think Orlando was a bit ahead of schedule as well. The addition of Luis Muriel, Nico Ladero, maybe could be something that helps, but not sure if that'll come to fruition this weekend. Do you think Muriel's going to get more minutes? I think he did in the Champions Cup, but will that make a difference?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating weekend. You know, sometimes you have build up to games. Everybody kind of knows what they're going to play and how they're going to play. I just think this weekend, given their adversity of all these games, and Oscar has to really think about Tuesday in the lineup and trying to navigate us, it's going to be fascinating to see where he goes with it. And to Andy's point, you know, they haven't had a sharpness in front of goal yet. Ladero's new to their system and their model. And, you know, I'm before I get into their players, I still think the big thing for us is to think about their mental state and see how we can get on top of them right away and see how we can really unsettle them, particularly with us trying to really say, hey, okay, we're going to really push at you and see where your mental state is. And if we can get them on discipline, I think we'll be in a good space. Because I think that's what happened in Miami. Miami got those 2 goals and kind of shut down. And again, I think you don't want to shut down, but when you're playing all these games, your mind and body might just shut down. So to me, I think that getting after them right away is really an important part of this game. And part of that is being honest that they're going to try to maybe score early because they haven't had a goal yet and they're at home and they want to try to get on the front foot as well.
Yeah. You know, Facundo Torres took a really big shot in that game.
Did.
And fell on his shoulder and
looked separated
out.
By the way.
Yeah,
I looked up today. I didn't see any injury information, but to your point, that did look like it hurt quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he came out, I think 60 minutes and Duncan came in 75th or so. He was all over the place once he came on. Very, very lively, wanting to get in the game. So maybe you see more of Duncan, maybe less of Ladero. I think he played 90. Yeah. I think he's probably, given his where he is in his career, I'd imagine that he probably drops out. But I think Facundo Torres' availability is interesting in this one.
So if Orlando does go out and get a goal early, does the plan change? Is it full steam ahead, same press as normal? Because I feel like once they get that breakthrough, they might just, you know, it might be the gates have opened. Here they are. They're back.
No, I don't think we change our mentality. I believe, you know, the long-term goals, I think, of the club is to kind of build an identity of really pushing and getting on top of teams. And ultimately, you're going to get smacked sometimes. So, and I don't anticipate us getting smacked this weekend. So, to me, it's really making sure we're ready and hungry to get on top of them and get after them and, you know, whoever's out there. So, on the flip side, though, I will say I guess we're the North, not Midwest, but there is a fun side of Duncan McGuire that I think you don't just aren't lucky. I think you create your luck. And this is a kid who, you know, comes from Omaha, who, you know, was basically on the practice squad and not scholarship for a couple of years and then fought his way to play at one of the better kind of Midwest universities where he became a starter and he became, you know, the best goal scorer in college soccer. And then was drafted, and then he became one of the best young forwards in the league in terms of production. So I would say we have to be very aware of his ability to prove people wrong and his ability to score and make runs. One of my favorite things about him is he actually played against my son at Duke in the Elite Eight years ago, is just that he has a knack for finding goals when you don't think they're going to happen. And when you think he's a little bit slower or doesn't quite have the quality to do it, he does it. And he has the quality in a way that I think he does it through work rate, too. He makes a lot of great runs across the near post to open up other guys. So he's one of those players that I think we're going to have to be aware of. I think he really makes them better when he's on.
All right. So what is the key to the Loons scoring this week? Is it going to be Sangbin again? Is it going to be – I noticed this week we had some fantastic crosses from Sangbin. I just couldn't – finish them kind of like in the first game from set pieces, things like that. Is that an issue you think they'll solve in game three, or how does that get solved?
The issues with crossing and finishing.
Yeah, finishing crosses, finishing set pieces.
Yeah.
Creating a lot, but not finishing necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They didn't create a whole lot, I would say, in the second game. Compared to the first game. It'd be good to see Pukki get going. You know, I think kind of obviously that Sangbin through ball early on was maybe the best chance, 20 minutes or so in that Columbus game to kind of get him going, I think will be key. It'll be interesting to see what is going to be available, right? It doesn't look like there's a lot of people coming back. Maybe Bongi will be available with his fitness. Does that mean he comes off the bench? Doesn't sound like there's going to be Ray or Robin or Fraga in the team. So it's probably going to be the same probably mix of guys. I wonder if Kervin maybe gets the nod over Braun, we'll see about that. But it's probably going to be the same type of guys. So you probably want to see that, you know, like you said, that Sangbin to Pukki connection would maybe be the most likely option in attack.
All right. Any parting thoughts about the Orlando game we got coming up?
I mean, I think there's it's a really exciting game, I think, for us. Because, again, I think we'll learn about where we are in terms of playing a road team that's dealing with a lot of adversity, but it's very good. I'm excited for us to kind of like the Austin game. You know, I think there's a translation into the work of the preseason that led to playing in Austin. I think there's a translation to preparation of Columbus. I still think that I feel that vibe for this game. Again, I think Orlando's going to play desperate, whether that becomes undisciplined and kind of chaotic, which they can do at times, or whether it's the Orlando that really gets good numbers forward and scores goals and pushes you back. So, to me, I really, like I said, it'll be interesting to see if Robin Jansen, you know, he's always been really a steady for them. I'm looking forward to seeing their right back, who I think has, you know, kind of helped steady them a little bit. And then You got Santos on the left who gets up and down really well. Like you said, I'm with you. I'm like, this is, I have no inside information, but that last night, that hit by Torres, yeah. I'm curious if he kind of separated his shoulder and is going to be out. Arujo is always tough. He's a connector of the ball. And so again, for me, it's just managing a team that I think is really good, but they're managing a lot too. And can we like we did a little bit against Austin, just get after him right away. Like really make sure they're not thinking about Tigres or this is not going to be an easy game to get through and then go to Monterrey and try to deal with like a massive game for them on Tuesday.
One concern that I would have is the Loons fullbacks. I think Cucho got inside of DJ when he was maybe ball watching and Dane stepped up to make a save in about the 30th minute. I think Joe had some giveaways that also forced, Dane to step up. And also on the goal, you know, Joseph gets beat down the flanks. I think fullback wise, I think has been a little bit iffy for the Loons here to start the season. And Dane has kind of covered that up at times. So making sure that those guys are locked in and not giving the ball away in dangerous areas will be key.
Well, thanks guys for joining today. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Match Day Preview Show. We'll be back next week to talk about the Orlando game and to look ahead to the future.